It's been a while since the Giants had a young, exciting player come up through their minor league system, debut at the major league level, and prove to be a potential star. Well, guess what? The Giants have that right now. It's kind of like we forget about it because of the season they had with so much success across the board. It's easy to forget there's one player that really stands out as exciting moving forward. So on today's Locked On Giants podcast, we're going to talk about what player I'm most excited to see in 2022. And we're going to talk about a lot more because it's a mailbag edition of the show. So that is just one of a number of questions we're going to get to today, next on Locked On Giants.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide episodes 3 days a week for now, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, so check us out there. And just a note for those of you watching on YouTube, this episode is not going to contain the normal graphics and kind of videos that we play. We're having some technical difficulties with the software that we use for that, so we're just kind of recording straight video. But for those of you listening just on, you know, Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever, there should be no interruption. So anyway, coming up on today's show, like I said, we're going to get to some mailbag questions. And the first one comes from Nate G, who asks, what player are you most excited to see going into next season? And believe it or not, it was kind of an obvious answer to me, and it ties in with something I've been thinking about a lot lately. And that player is Logan Webb. And the reason what I've been thinking about a lot lately was what I teased in the open there, and that is the fact that the Giants have not had, to my memory, a player come up through the minor leagues and, you know, perform really well, a homegrown player to perform really, really well. And that's exactly what we saw out of Logan Webb. It was an absolute breakout season for Webb, and he just shined on the biggest stage as well in the playoffs against the Dodgers. In both of his starts, he was outright dominant. And so to me, he looks poised to be the first player in a long time to become a at least borderline star level player to come up through the minor leagues for the Giants. And hopefully he's the first in a long line to do so, because the Giants do have a good system here, and eventually these players are going to start making their debuts. Of course, Joey Bart was someone I thought about mentioning here, and I'm definitely excited to see what Joey Bart can do in 2022. But Webb, I'm more optimistic about, at least right now, being a big-time performer for the Giants in 2022. In 2021, big breakout year, 3.03 ERA, 2.72 FIP, 2.79 XFIP. These are kind of somewhat advanced numbers, but basically when they're under three, they are like ERA. The numbers are the same in terms of the league average in FIP and XFIP is generally close to the league average in ERA. And so to be under three is just really good and suggests really good things are coming. And it suggests that he earned his 3.03 earned run average. He had an above average strikeout rate. He had a ridiculous ground ball rate, over 60% among the leaders in the sport. So I think the average launch angle against Logan Webb was negative, meaning the average ball went down, which, you know, it's hard to have a lot of success against a pitcher who's just making you hit the ball into the ground with so much regularity, and then to also be able to strike guys out at an above average rate makes you dominant, and it and makes you a really, really intriguing pitcher. And I mean, he started out kind of shaky, had that great spring training, but once he got going and got on that streak where he had whatever 14 straight starts with three runs or less, something like that, he was just off and running, and he kind of never looked back. And in the playoffs, he even took it up to another level. So I'm excited to watch the young Logan Webb. That's the other thing, is that he is only, get my video out of the way here, 25 years old. And so, yeah, I mean, tell me the last time the Giants had a player this age emerge and be this good and be under team control for multiple years. So the future is bright, and Logan Webb has a lot to do with that. Anyway, there are definitely other players I'm excited to watch. Bart Yastrzemski, but for like Yaz as an example, it's more about, can he rebound and get back to being the really good player we saw in 2020, or is it going to be more of the same and kind of general struggles in 2022? There's Crawford. Can he keep up what he was able to do? There's Belt. There's a lot of intrigue for me, but certainly the guy I'm most excited about is Logan Webb. So the next question comes from Pac Bell Partisan, who asks, who produces more value in 2022, Tyro Estrada or Tommy La Stella? And this is an intriguing question, but to me, the answer is pretty obvious. I think it's Tommy La Stella. I had high hopes for La Stella, and we just did not really see it from him in 2021. It was, generally speaking, a down year. It was a year ravaged by injuries. He only played in 76 games, and he just never quite got it going. He was below average offensively, wasn't great defensively, but I remain optimistic about Tommy La Stella. I think we saw the potential. He's just an extremely patient hitter, although it was a little bit weird the way that he, you know, he was really patient, but then he would end up chasing, or he was really patient, and then he would end up taking a pitch right down the middle for strike three, which that's actually more excusable than being patient, and then two strike count, you just chase a pitch that's 3 feet out of the strike zone, which we saw more of than I was expecting out of La Stella in 2021. So coming up next, we're going to continue to answer this question, why I do actually have high hopes for Tyro Estrada, but why I'm saying La Stella is going to produce more value next year. But before we get to that and all the rest of the questions, it's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit, and really, I mean, whose isn't? Built Bar is ready to come in and assist you with those resolutions. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar, but they make it easy to stick to your resolution because they taste so good you'll want to eat Built Bars, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky, waxy, or taste like a chemical spill. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. Right about now, you're thinking, where's the chocolate? I'm done with this healthy kick. Well, guess what? Guess what? You can continue to eat Built Bars that taste like candy bars and feel good about it. Just 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar in a typical bar to go along with about 17 grams of protein. Right now, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you can get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, as promised, we are going to get to more questions. We're going to continue answering the Tommy La Stella, Tyro Estrada question that we were in the middle of answering a second ago. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. So yeah, continuing with the Tommy La Stella Tyro Estrada question, it has more to do with me just continuing to be super high on Tommy La Stella. I don't think La Stella is going to be a superstar, but I think we're going to see a lot better, assuming he can stay healthy, which of course you can never know for sure. If he stays healthy, I would just expect pretty substantial contributions from Tommy La Stella in 2022. The other thing is that Tyro Estrada seems poised to be a platoon player for now, at least. They're not just going to give Estrada the second base job and make Tommy La Stella a complete backup or maybe have him platoon at third base. I don't see that happening. I think the role that Estrada is likely to play is the role that Donovan Solano has played with this team. I think Solano is likely going to end up elsewhere simply because of this fact that I think that Estrada is going to take over that role. Tyro Estrada does not have any more minor league options, so they either need to have him on the roster or, you know, trade him or DFA him. And he showed me enough, and he's got enough pedigree to suggest that he should be able to stick on this roster and be a contributor. But I think that it's more likely going to be that for now, he looks like he projects to platoon at second base with Tommy La Stella, basically the role that Solano has played in recent years. I mean, obviously, Solano didn't platoon with La Stella before 2021 because La Stella wasn't here yet, but that seems what Estrada is slated for. And he can also back up Brandon Crawford at shortstop, and he can probably play some third base if there's anything that goes wrong with Evan Longoria. So he's a very useful player to have. He's an upgrade defensively, I would say, over Donovan Solano and whatever other backup shortstops they've had in the recent past. So I'm intrigued about what we're going to see out of Tyro Estrada in 2022. And they're both, La Stella and Estrada, intriguing to me. But I just happen to be a little bit, I mean, especially if Estrada is just platooning, it's a lot easier for Tommy La Stella to provide that value. So the next question, and I apologize, there's a leaf blower going on next to me. I will do my best to drown it out with my voice, but next question comes from at Nicholas Bosa, who asks, actually, sorry, Nicholas Bosa, we're going to have to wait 1 second. Next question comes from Sam, who asks, could you see a La Stella Longoria platoon at third base next year? Both hit well against their respective sides. Both are injury prone, so they get plenty of rest. Plus, it opens up Estrada to get more time at second base. Now, obviously, I thought this was a pertinent question to get to now because it's related to the previous question. I have been saying for years that the Giants need to find a platoon partner at third base with Evan Longoria. They haven't really done it yet. We did see a little bit of it when Tommy La Stella was healthy at the beginning of the year. We did see La Stella make some starts at third base. And so I think that there is a possibility that they do this to a degree. Like if Estrada just comes out and just looks like unbelievably good and is hitting home runs and getting on base and playing good defense, and they think, hey, I mean, if they want to give him some starts against right-handed pitching, and if he continues to mash, then yeah, I think at that point, you explore putting La Stella over at third base against right-handed pitching, sitting Evan Longoria against right-handed pitching, which is something I think they need to do regardless, but they haven't really prioritized it. It is kind of hard to find a left-handed platoon guy at third base. It's not a very common thing. Normally at third base, you do have everyday players for whatever reason. I think because the offensive bar is pretty high, and so generally you've got good offensive players playing third base, and they kind of warrant everyday playing time. But anyway, it depends. I think that it's a long season, and it's certainly possible that at some point, if all three of these guys are healthy, and like I said, if Estrada's really playing well, I think that that would make it more likely we would see this platoon at third base. One of the issues I have is La Stella, I'm not sure defensively, I'm certain he's not a great defensive third baseman. I'm not sure that he's even playable defensively at third base. And I mean, his arm is not the best. It's below average. And generally, you kind of want a good arm at third base. So it's not a perfect system. And this will be the last year of Evan Longoria's contract. So after 2022, I expect them to have some kind of more full-time third baseman. I don't know how exactly they'll address that. But yeah, I don't know. But it's definitely possible and something to keep an eye on. I don't think there's going to be something that's super fixed with this roster. They have a lot of interchangeable parts. So we could see this at some point. I do think it's something I would try, but I'm also not positive. I just want to give everyday playing time to Tyro Estrada. He kind of has to earn that by mashing when he's out there, and then you give him those chances, and then if he continues to prove himself, then you roll with it. That's kind of how I would see it playing out. So the next question comes from at Nicholas Bosa, who asks, when is this damn lockout ending, LOL? Yeah, good question. What are we, like 50 days into the lockout? There's been almost no progress made. I mean, the only progress that's been made is that the two sides had a meeting on Thursday of last week, and that it was a core economics meeting. It was the league that made a proposal to the players, but surprise, surprise, the players didn't come away happy at all. That is absolutely a theme when these two sides meet, is they don't agree ever on anything. And so lockout's not ending today, not ending tomorrow. It's going to be a while. And we're less than a month away from when spring training was supposed to get going. I have been saying this whole time, I expect spring training will be delayed. I expect the regular season will be delayed. It's kind of surprising to me how many reporters I've seen say that they didn't initially really expect the season to be delayed, but that now it's getting to the point where they think it might. I never, ever expected the season to start on time, simply because the players are like hunkered down and prepared for a fight, and they're not willing to settle on anything less than what they think is a good deal for them. The league, meanwhile, never comes out with anything that appeases the players. So putting two and two together, how do you see a deal working out? If the league's not offering anything that the players like, and the players aren't willing to, I believe them, they are not willing to come off of their demands. I don't think they're going to be able to get everything they want, but they need to get something that they want, and something that they want bad. And they need to see the league move, and the league is just really, really, really resistant to any kind of give. And so eventually it'll happen. It's just the league is just so careful not to give too much. And frankly, that would be really hard to negotiate with. But that's just, that's Rob Manfred, and that's him serving the owners. And that's the thing, that Rob Manfred takes a lot of heat, but really, he's doing the bidding of the owners. And so fans, I think if you're mad at Manfred, you should really think about extending that to the owners themselves, because he just represents them. I think that there's, I don't want to call it confusion, but it's easy to think of the commissioner of baseball as someone who kind of represents the interests of both sides. And I guess he does to an extent, because he represents the game at large. But in reality, he's he works for the owners. He doesn't work for the players. And so Rob Manfred is like a fall boy for the owners. And I think they're pretty pleased that he takes all the heat and that the teams themselves don't take as much heat. And so anyway, when is this damn lockout ending? My prediction is that they'll reach an agreement sometime in, what have I been saying? I can't even remember my own prediction. I think I've been saying late March or sometime in April, they reach an agreement. And then there would be spring training after that. And spring training would probably be condensed, but you've got to have it some reasonable amount of time for them to get ready, at least 3 weeks. And so if you reach an agreement, let's say April 10th, you're not starting the season until at least the beginning of May and maybe mid-May. And so I honestly think that's a little bit of an optimistic view. I think we're going to miss some games, but once that sets in and we're missing games and all that goes along with that, and nobody's getting paid, the owners, the players not getting paid, then that will be the incentive they need to sit down and reach an agreement. So anyway, coming up next, we're going to get to more questions and more answers, of course. So stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about Seiya Suzuki again, an intriguing guy that a lot, we get a lot of questions about him and more. So yeah, like I said, stay tuned for that. But first, BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. I mean, in football and basketball and hockey and all that, baseball, we're not doing much of anything actually. But when it comes back, BetOnline will be there as it remains the number one spot for all your sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. To sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, here we go. We are going to talk about, we're going to get to some more questions, and then we're going to wrap this up for today. The next question comes from Christian, who says, let's say the Giants don't win the Seiya Suzuki sweepstakes, or even if they did, what do you think of Jorge Soler as a DH / left-handed power bat to add to the Giants? And so I think somebody responded to you, I believe it was Cobert Gobert in the comments, talking about how I have talked about Jorge Soler before as a possibility for the Giants. But certainly not everyone listens to the show every single day, even though we would love you to. And I hope that you come back for the two more episodes we're going to do this week and every week and eventually back to 5 days a week. But I have talked about Jorge Soler before. The thing about him that I ultimately come to is that he stinks defensively. He is a very bad defensive player. And generally speaking, he's been not a very great offensive player either in his career. He's got a lot of power. He certainly showed that this season. A couple years ago, he hit 48 home runs. So he's had some really, that was his one massive season that he's had. But he is not a very good defensive player. And I just think the Giants are kind of stocked in the outfield. And I don't really view Soler as an upgrade over anything they already have. In their outfield, they have Lamont Wade Jr., Mike Yastrzemski, Darren Ruff, Steven Duggar, and Austin Slater. So that's five outfielders already. So if you add Soler, I mean, somebody's got to go. And the thing is that most of those guys are out of options. So you can't just say, oh, well, send this guy down and just have Soler. I also just don't view Jorge Soler as really an upgrade over the guys he would be replacing. Like Darren Ruff and Austin Slater are kind of the guys who he would be replacing. I suppose if you want to have three right-handed platoon bats in your outfield, maybe. But then you're talking about a really bad defensive player. And I also don't think they want to sign a guy who's just a DH, who just can't play in the field when he's not that great of an offensive player. If you're going to sign like a DH-only bat, I would imagine like Nelson Cruz is a more attractive option than Jorge Soler, just because Nelson Cruz has a better track record of being a more impact offensive player. So anyway, I don't, especially if they add Seiya Suzuki, I don't think there's any need for that. But if they don't, they probably do need to add a bat in the outfield. I just don't personally think that Jorge Soler would be the answer. He's, to me, more of a guy you add on like a minor league deal just to kind of see how it shakes out. I'll just say this. Even in 2021, when he was an impact player for the Braves down the stretch, he produced negative 0.2 Fangraphs wins above replacement. The bat was simply about league average, and he was extremely below average as a base runner and in the field. And so I just don't really see that as an intriguing option for the San Francisco Giants in 2022. So let's see. Last question comes from Thomas, who says, 107 wins was incredible and very unlikely to be matched, but I'm having a hard time figuring out what my expectations should be this year. 90? And we've talked about this also recently, but I'll just say really quickly that I think currently as is, before making additions, I do think once the lockout ends, that's the other fun thing, I guess, about this is when the lockout ends, we're going to see a flurry of activity, and I would expect the Giants to be involved. They were pretty active before the lockout, maybe didn't make the big splash people had hoped for, but they did make a lot of moves, and they signed, you know, I think they spent about $100 million on players already this offseason in total commitments. And so As currently constructed, before making any more additions, which again, I expect them to make, I view them as like a mid-80s, maybe like 86 win team. If I was projecting and like if you paid me to, or if I was going to win money, if I guessed exactly the right number of wins with this exact roster, I might go with like 86 or 87. But if you make some more kind of key additions, like an outfielder and a starter who have upside and or are just really good players, like Seiya Suzuki maybe and Carlos Rodon maybe, I'd put them closer to around 90 wins. So I think that you kind of nailed it there with that 90 win guess. But they have work to do for me to get to be a 90 win team on paper. That's the thing, is that this is on paper. They weren't a 107 win team on paper in 2021, but they won 107 games because they were a good team on paper. I think a lot of people didn't realize it beforehand, but then they also had, you know, peak performance, peak clutch factor. Like they were just, they maximized their possible wins. They couldn't have possibly done much better than 107, but that's not a guarantee. If you ran back the season that you would win 107 again. I think even to win 100, like so much has to go right. So to win 107 is just ridiculous. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Please hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. Normally, we've got graphics and stuff. It's usually a little bit of a better experience. So thank you for bearing with me. And if you're listening in, you know, Apple or Spotify or whatever, if you could leave a review or give it 5 stars, that would just help me out so much. So thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again, either on Wednesday or Thursday. Not entirely sure yet, but we've got 2 more episodes coming out this week. Can't wait to be with you then. Thanks again for listening. Stay locked on Giants. Oh,